Fasten your seatbelts. It's time for the Anything Goes Hour with Stu Breyer.
It's always good to have on the program Mayor Peter Nystrom. He's here to talk to you, the mayor of Norwich, and you're welcome to ask him any questions you choose as we get some information out to you with Mayor Pete.
Hi, Stu. How are you?
Good. Good to see you, as always. So, my friend, you were busy earlier today. Maybe you want to tell the folks about you were cutting some ribbons you were cutting up. What are they for?
Well, they're celebrations, acknowledging a lot of hard work, perseverance. In one case, over 6 years of steadfast dedication to seeing something completed, and that's new docks being installed at Brown Park. We cut the ribbon on the access to that, and that felt really good. We had hoped to have it done earlier than 6+ years, but sometimes you hit roadblocks. The point is, though, you stay true to it and you keep working hard and go through a couple of rounds of funding with the State's Port Authority. We extend our gratefulness to them for the grants that they provided, near 80% for the whole thing. I think it was about $1.2 million the city provided the rest in two funding authorizations. We're trying to improve access to the waterfront in every area that we can. So the first ribbon cutting was down there, and then we've walked up the hill to the infamous Reed and Hughes building.
All right, I'm ready for this one.
That closed, I was told today, in 1987, and I thought it was 97. So somewhere I lost 10 years of judgment.
Yeah.
But that, through the gracious efforts and willingness of a new player here in the city of Norwich, Mr. David McCarthy, who took on chief responsibility for the Regan Hotel. He and his organization bought out Bruce Becker, who had developed that. He could have, as I said today, while I was speaking, stayed across the street, but he immediately got into Norwich. He took a look around the development that he had invested in, and he saw the Reed and Hughes building, tired, old, and poorly maintained, I will have to admit. But now it's at a point where we cut the ribbon today, and they're going to start building it back inside. It's been fully remediated of all brownfield issues. All the financing is in place. Mr. McCarthy had actually called me to introduce himself to me as the city's mayor, and he immediately asked what we could do about the Reed and Hughes, that he was willing to take that project on. And I thanked him publicly for that, because I would love to see other developers come into our city, invest, and look around, see where else can they invest. Because that's just what he did. And that's a priceless commodity to have. Someone new to your community that's willing to go the extra mile. So we're very, very grateful. We cut the ribbon. They're going forward. They'll be building that out. There'll be 2,000 square feet of commercial retail space on the street level. There'll be 17 market-rate apartments. You match those up with 4 market-rate apartments that are being built out at the Y, with the 42 market-rate apartments that are built, and they're going through a checklist with the fire marshal's office, the building code, to get a CO. These apartments are done at 7791 Main Street, just up the street. So we've got development in the center at the end of Main Street, from a numerical standpoint, lowest number, go all the way to the highest number, which is the YMCA property, which is now being turned into an expanded These Guys restaurant. It's being turned into office space. I talked about this last time, but you can actually see a tremendous work getting accomplished there. They're deconstructing actually a portion of the building that's coming out towards the back. It's a little tricky because the way the buildings are added onto each other, but when that's complete, they'll be building out the restaurant, building out their offices, the apartments. There'll be some retail space in that site as well. Hotel Calista is done, open for business, the former Elks right across the street from them. Those are two gateways we're describing, both ends of Main Street. Very important as people drive into downtown Norwich that they see development, they see activity, restored properties. Lot going on. Monday we had the state come in, and Norwich Public Utilities is shining once again. They applied for and were granted $10.9 million in direct grants from the state of Connecticut and the federal government, as I should say, the federal government, not the state, but the state played a hand in this as well. And in that, we had Senator Blumenthal arrive, and then we had Congressman Courtney there as well. Combined, that's $20.9 million in grants from the feds, and that's going to help us replace old cast iron pipes that transport our gas system throughout the city of Norwich. And that $20.9 million otherwise over a 20-year period of time would have been built into a rate structure. Now it will never go into a rate structure, and instead of taking 20 years to complete those projects, it's going to be built out over 5 years, which is really good news. If you're a gas customer here in the city of Norwich, our NPU is maintaining our system, improving our system, making it better, and more importantly, safer. Because these are old cast iron pipes, some of them well over 100 years old, and they can leak. And actually, you think about global warming, if you go into that discussion, the leak that happens with natural gas is far more significant from a volume standpoint than what happens naturally from cars and things like that. I'm getting off topic a little bit, but it's good for the environment. It's great for the ratepayers. It's great for the city moving forward for the next 100 years. So we've been having a lot of celebrations these first 3 days this week. Mm-hmm. Last week, the governor was in town. His staff called me the night before, and we had tea at a beautiful bakery in Norwich Town, Sweet Mama's. We didn't have any sweets. We were both good, but we had a cup of tea. We talked for about 45 minutes, and we went over and we spoke with an assembly of about 120 students at Norwich Free Academy. It was a real nice time, nice reception. It was good interaction from the students as we spoke to them. They asked questions, we asked questions, stuff like that. The governor got to come back and see Slater Memorial Museum at NFA, which is one of only two in the nation. He wanted to see the completed product. He was there a year ago, February, as it was still under reconstruction and the roof was still being restored, the slate roof, I should say. It's been very busy here the last week. All good things. And there are other good things to come that we're working on. We'll be doing another ribbon cutting as soon as all the compliance is finished at 7791 Main. And those apartments, five, I believe, have already been leased. And they're finishing up the retail commercial space on Water Street and Main Street. There's a lot of activity. The private sector is investing in our city. And that's because we invested in ourselves with the American Rescue dollars. And I got to give a big shout-out to NCDC, Kevin Brown, and all the staff down there who do such a tremendous job helping us coordinate these efforts.
Well, it's nice to hear lots of positive stuff. Very nice. I think somebody's waiting. You have a question for the mayor?
Yes, I do. I have two questions. One is, when Stu was interviewing the chaplain for the police, he couldn't name the four sites that they were looking at for a proposed police building.
Well, that was Shelley who interviewed him, but go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So your question is, are there other sites?
Can you tell me where they're going to be or what they're looking at? And then I have a second question.
Well, I can tell you that reference was to former sites that had been reviewed in the past that I know we'll go back to. We are looking at an individual site that I cannot disclose right now because it's a site that's still under examination by the city's architect to see whether or not it's cost-effective and whether it works. I will not disclose that site. That could, in fact, cause an increase in cost for us. So we never want to do that. But we have not abandoned the need for the police station. We're earnestly looking at this particular site. I can talk about the former Buckingham School. That's a site already owned by the city of Norwich. And certainly it could be accomplished there, but there was concerns about the topography there as the building would have to be built into the hill as the former elementary school, and that would add to excessive cost. And in order to do this, we must achieve the lowest cost unit value on getting this done, but still meet the needs of the police department, who we need to support. Other sites that are out there, just off the top of my head, none of them come to mind that actually the city owns and or that would do the trick, provide for the needs that we have. But we need to get it done.
And your other question?
Yes. the sewer assessment that everybody had I think it was a $7,000 lien on their house, and there was some trouble when people were buying and selling, and they weren't aware that they had a balance on their sewer assessment. I haven't heard a follow-up on that as to how they rectified it.
Okay, we'll have the mayor speak about that. Thank you.
First of all, I'm not really the best person to answer that question. Someone from NPU would be. I will tell you that sewer assessments are determined on an individual basis. It's based on the length of property parallel, I believe, to any sewer line that runs by the property. If you have a corner lot, you may end up with two assessments from that perspective. But this figure of $7,000, I have never heard of that. And I can tell you, and I believe it would never be done in a manner of that nature where everybody is given that. Again, it's still determined by individual property lines and the length and size of properties, the perimeter and stuff like that. But I will look into the matter. I'll try to get an answer and get that back to Stu.
WICH, good afternoon to you.
Hi. Two things. First of all, you were just saying the $7,000.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that.
That is a normal assessment.
Well, it can be if your property... if the formula for calculating the sewer assessment meets that length to calculate that determination, but I don't think there's a carte blanche. I mean, I had a home on Broad Street. I had 60 feet across. I never saw a sewer assessment of $7,000. The length in relation to the length of the sewer line running by the house didn't exist.
Like you said, it depends. I live on a dead-end street, so going from the main street down to the dead end, it did cost more. But anyway, the other thing, they were talking about the police station. I have another site to consider.
Okay.
They're going to close Mahan School. Mahan School, if you put another story on it, that's a perfect spot. I like Buckingham also. Buckingham, I always thought was a really good spot, but I'd like you to consider Mahan.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's close to the highways, it's close to Route 82, it's got plenty of space for parking, et cetera. And I think that it, you know, if it were expanded and had a second story, it would be more than big enough.
All right, thank you for that. Thank you.
I'll certainly add it to the list. I do know there's a pretty strong feeling about if that's closed, that be returned to commercial use since it's surrounded by commercial activity, a more higher taxable. Any property that becomes the police station, if taxes are collected on it or in the future could be collected on it, that'll be part of the calculation for cost.
So that particular place, possibility for the police station that I understand you're not at liberty to say, is that something that would be higher up on the list of being a favorite of most people?
Well, it is for me.
It's for you. Okay, well,
It wasn't my idea.
I respect your opinion.
The owners of the property contacted me last October prior to the referendum.
Mm-hmm.
We know the referendum failed. There are other benefits to some sites in the city. In fact, if the location of a police station near other properties where people may see another opportunity to invest where they haven't yet, those kinds of things, secondary benefits, value. You know, we tried to do it in 12 with the old Sears building. The voters rejected it, so we let that issue lie and we didn't continue to pursue it. That would have had a multiplier benefit to all the properties downtown with a stronger public safety presence down there. Same thing would have happened. You'd have lost the taxes collected on the property, but it was always my hope that if you could invest in downtown, you would see a value to every property downtown. Remember, downtown's only about one square block, and I don't know how you calculate a block. One square mile. That's what downtown fits in. If you could rebuild it, place it in, it fits within a very confined, tight space. If you had a police presence downtown, I would argue all those properties' value would go way up because people would feel safe investing in them with a police presence that strong.
Mm-hmm. WYCH, welcome to the program. Mayor Peters with us. What's your question?
Yes, I was wondering what's going on with 15 Jewett City Road.
We're still chasing David. I will only say his first name. He continues to occupy state rights away along Route 12. He continues, in my opinion, to turn that into a dump. He did the same thing when he was out at the Hale Mill in Yantic Village, and we basically pushed him out of there, and I think we need to push him out of there, down at 15 Taft Road there.
Thank you for the call.
It doesn't seem like anything's happening.
The state was contacted. We promised that we would do that. We've reached out to them. Maybe this is not an issue that's on the priority list for the state, but it's still on the priority list for myself and the city.
Thank you for asking. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome to the program. Good morning. Good afternoon. Click. Okay. Mayor Peter Nystrom is with us. We'll be right back if you'd like to ask your mayor. Talk to him. He's got an open mind on lots of things, and we'll be right back. Mayor Peter Nystrom agreed to come on once a month, talk to the folks in Norwich, your mayor. Glad to have him with us. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
I have a question for Pete.
Go ahead.
I used to work in the Marina Towers building for a law firm when I first was here. And I gave some thought the last couple of months. Is that building renovatable?
No. I do not believe so. It's been inspected. The roof is not viable. And, of course, that brings all other kinds of issues of mold and penetration that wrecks the walls. I remember that building. Senator Dodd had his office in there. Project Independence, the wonderful Betty Barath, had a program there for respite care for children and with high needs. It was a very good site for those kinds of businesses. But at this point in time, the best thing that could happen, I think, is that building be raised. And then whoever can own that property, work with the new marina operators, because that restores all frontage on that road, which would enhance development at the marina and public access for the people at the marina. We had the ribbon cutting for Brown Park for the new ADA-compliant ramp as well as docks, which is really important. Total access ADA for the waterfront. We want to have that happen all around the waterfront. There's about 70 acres of land surrounding the harbor area on both sides of the river. If somehow that could be acquired and then used with the new operators, that would enhance their opportunities either. And, again, more public access for the average citizen.
WYCH, good afternoon to you. What's your question for the mayor?
Hi, good afternoon, Stu. Mayor Pete, the question on those towers, years ago I worked for Ron Aliano, and, of course, Norwich owns the marina, the property. He owned all the docks and the restaurant and the buildings, the two office buildings. That is an eyesore. Why don't they just take that down? Who owns that today? The new owners of the marina? I mean, it's not been occupied since I can remember.
All right, thanks for the call.
Actually, the Marina Towers is owned by the former operators of the marina. They own it right now. It was actually a separate holding, separate from the marina itself.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the program. You're not there. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hi, go right ahead.
Hi, Stu. I have a question for Pete. Mm-hmm. Couple of them. Quick questions. You're putting new businesses in the city that's great. Can you tell me if you're going to do something about the noise? Because it seems to be there's no curfew. No curfew in the morning and no curfew at nighttime or no curfew at all. You have muscle cars and Harleys that go through the center of the city and make loud noises, and there's nobody taking care of that. Plus kids racing on ATVs and ATCs and motorcycles, and nothing's being done about that. And my second question is there ever going to be an animal control that's more than just narcotics? think I'm saying that wrong, but yeah, because I had to wait 13 hours for somebody to come get a cat from me.
Okay, I remember your call, and I had a note to ask him that, so I'm glad
and,
you got in. Yeah.
We need a little bit more than that instead of that, because the people that came, they were actually shocked. It was like they were getting the message for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That really needs to get addressed because animals are getting out of control. I have 12 cats around my house, and they say they can't come help me. So I'd like to know that.
All right, we'll have Pete talk about it. Thanks. Thanks for calling
us.
I'll take the second question first. I have received a number of complaints about the NECOG presence here. It was contracted with them to take care of the old pound in Mohegan Park. I'm completely unsatisfied with the response that people gain when they reach out to them. I'm unsatisfied when I reach out to them. So that is a topic that I think will come back around, and I'm going to look to present this to the whole city council. I don't think we're getting a bang for the buck, and I know the public's not getting the service that we're paying for. And I'm talking about families that encounter roaming dogs that are violent and things of that nature. I keep getting calls in the same neighborhoods, the same offender. I'll use that term, but it's really the owner of the dog. That's the offender, in my opinion. There are a number of neighborhoods that are having a problem, and we will be looking at that. As far as, I think she was referring to noise ordinances and things of that nature, there is no noise ordinance. Generally, 70 decibels is a measure that people stay concerned about. When we get calls through our police department for loud activity, particularly late at night, I know our officers are responding. Sometimes we will sit on a business that's operating, particularly on weekends. We had a problem like that in downtown. I'm happy to report that that portion of that business is no longer there, and it has calmed down a great deal. But as far as dirt bikes, quads, you know, that's illegal on our city streets. The legislature has given a little bit more tools to municipalities. We can seize those vehicles, impound them, and even destroy them. And I would caution anybody who's listening, if you plan on driving your quad on the streets of Norwich, look forward to perhaps losing it.
Chief Daly,
we're not putting up with it.
Chief Daly's coming on in a couple of weeks. We'll bring that up with him as well. But our caller had called me on an earlier date and said, you know, in the middle of the night, she's getting these very loud situations. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, Stu. Yes, and hello, Mayor Pete. This is my name is Dottie.
Hi, Dottie.
And I grew up in Norwich, and I was just listening on the radio. And I had two questions for you, and just you were talking about the marina. I wanted to ask you, and as a favor maybe for our whole community, down near the marina, I know I spoke with, I think, Parks and Recreation about the fishing line disposal bins, and I'm in touch with DEP because I'm an Osprey steward with the Connecticut Audubon Society. So kudos to them. I want to check in now that fishing season will begin to make sure that that's adequate down there. And so that there's not, it's a danger, of course, to all the birds, the ducks, whatever, down in the marina area. But there's also, I've discovered, a webcam that they have down there. But what I see is that it doesn't show the Brown Park or the gazebo or the waters. It just focuses on the launching area of where the boats launch out. I'm wondering if that could be corrected.
Hey, Dottie, thank you for the question.
Thank you. All right.
I will disclose to you there's more than one camera down there, but I'm not going to tell you where the other cameras are. For a specific reason is we don't want anybody messing with them. I can tell you that the police department, which is right across the river there on the other side of the marina, they're able to view the waterfront area at considerable length along the shores. And, you know, whatever we can do to enhance, we're certainly willing to discuss that. The Brown Park dedication today, I can certainly tell you today, if you like to fish, they're open for your use right now. And if someone needs an ADA-compliant ramp to go down there to fish from, in this case, their wheelchair, they now have access to those docks where they never did before. And it's a 1-to-12 ratio, which is required by law. So it's safe for them to navigate down and back up. But we welcome the public use along our waterfront.
Thanks for holding. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Mayor.
Hello.
Is it possible that the transportation center could be used as an annex for the police station? It's within walking distance. It basically is just a bus stop, and it's empty, and nobody, hardly anybody parks there, and you got a lot of room. What do you think of that? Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're thinking about building on top of it, it wasn't designed for that. I'll confess, I thought about it myself, but it was not designed for that use. It is patrolled daily by our police. It is a safe place to use, and I would encourage those coming downtown, if you're looking to be near the waterfront, to utilize it. With the new development returning to the marina, I believe you will start to see much higher use of that ITC, that garage. That's certainly our intent. But SEAT operates out of there, the public transportation system. That's a valuable tool as well. Many people don't have a car, do not drive here in the city of Norwich, and they run their operations out of there as well.
Before I forget to ask you, is there any possibilities that, the Grecian festival and Taste of Italy coming back, or looks like that's not happening?
I can't speak to the Taste of Italy. I do know that the projects at our Greek church, the roofs are complete. And
okay.
So they're back to using the site as they had previously. And I certainly am looking forward. They did have gyro sales, I think, 2 weekends last year.
Yeah, they did have something. Yeah.
I'd love to be able to talk about the Greek Food Festival coming back. Baklava, spanakopita, all the things that I love.
Moussaka.
Everything. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we're hungry.
Okay. That was just popped into my head. Let's go back to Reed and Hughes now. You say we're going to have restaurant and availability for businesses there. Has then anybody come to you and said, we're interested yet? Or
well, no. In fact, the build-out, if you will, is beginning now after this morning's program. There, I can announce there's 2,000 square feet of available commercial space, street level. When this is done, sometime a year from now, in the spring, that will be complete. The apartments and the commercial space down below. And if someone's interested, the important thing is to talk to someone early, whether it's myself or Mr. McCarthy, because you can talk about how the space would be built out that would benefit what you would like to bring here. Get in literally on the ground floor. That would help.
So you're saying the spring, we're talking next spring or this spring?
2025,
okay.
Yep.
I want to make sure I got the right spring.
Yeah.
Spring into another call. WICH, good afternoon.
Hi. Mayor Pete, what's the rules on panhandling? You want us to go downtown and park at the parking garage when you got panhandlers all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at Franklin Street on Lower Boswell.
I'm glad you brought that up. I get a lot of calls on it. All right, thank you.
The rules are... One, First Amendment, right of free speech protects anyone. I do know that people feel, I don't think anyone that's doing that is someone who's not in control of their behavior. I'll admit, last week I helped one of them. I gave him a 10 spot. Could tell he was freezing on the road and...
Mm-hmm.
I gave him a little help. I have brought a meal to a person in that situation in the past. My wife has done that. I really wish that they would look for steady employment and not try to live in that into that way, because it's a dead end at the end of the day. And if it annoys people, that's not helping the city's recovery. I've talked to corporate counsel how you can limit them, and it's a big, it's a real big ball of wax. You can propose things, but then getting it to be enacted and carried out. Most of these people, I think, are good people. They're down on their luck. Maybe they just don't know what else to do. But I can tell you there's a lot of places that are hiring, particularly electric boat. Get yourself down there. Apply to work. Don't be afraid of work. Standing still on the corner 10 hours a day, I couldn't do it. My back and knees would kill me. It's not a pleasant thing. There are plenty of jobs out there. Give yourself a break and go apply for some if you're listening. Probably not, because unless they have a radio. But
do you have, down in the downtown area, do they have any for hire signs there?
Electric Boat doesn't do that. Most hiring efforts are online right now.
Mm-hmm.
The city has seasonal positions opening up as we do throughout the summer. For youth unemployment, things like that. I mean, if you're a young person, go on the city's website or take a walk down the city hall. These hirings are posted in the glass cases on the second floor. You can read about those positions right there. Talk to people in the human services office, summer employment program with Aaron Hagen there, youth and family services. There are opportunities out there. Make yourself available to learn about them. And take a shot.
WICH, good afternoon. You have a question for the mayor.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. I'm listening to the mayor about the job opportunities and everything else, but, one of the major problems is most of these people can't pass a drug test, especially EB. And I was just talking to my nephew there the other day. He works down there, and he says this is a major problem with, hiring people down there because they can't pass the piss test. It is a major problem now that it's legalized, especially.
If you're referring to pot, you're absolutely right. They're under federal contract, and while the state has now deemed recreation legal, the feds still consider it a Class 1 drug, illegal, and on any work site where federal contracts exist, it is absolutely legal, and if you're found to be in possession or use, you'll be walked right off. So there's another example as to why you should not use any form of drug. If you're looking to improve your life, put it aside, have some willpower, apply yourself to help yourself.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, sir. It's a good point.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Bob.
So, well, let me get this call, 889-5252. It's good. This is a chance for you to ask the mayor of Norwich, Peter Nystrom, questions. Hi, what's your question for Pete?
Yes, I got a question. I'll hang up, and correct me if I'm wrong. Would you answer? Am I correct to understand that the architects came through with the new schools, and they predicted that it was going to be 30-something% over budget?
Okay.
And if it is 30% over budget, how are we going to absorb that as taxpayers in Norwich? Are we going to cut what's needed with the schools, or are we going to raise taxes?
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
I appreciate that call from that gentleman. Would very much like to discuss that. Right now, the two first schools, Stanton and Greenville, are about $22 million over budget as proposed when the referendum was packaged. And I need to let the listeners know that the referendum was a project. There were six projects within, but it's when they voted for it, it was to do all six. And since we now know we're running over a budget on the first two schools, the obligation of the council and myself is really to sit down with the bond council. And the bond council has advised myself, because I've been talking with him on a regular basis about this concern, that in truth, we actually need to go back out to referendum. If we're going to make substantial changes, if we're going to say, well, we're not going to do 1/6 or one of those projects, not to pick on the offices over at Samuel and Huntington, that was a $25 million projected cost. People on the council, well, we just won't do that. Well, no, that's not how it works. The bond council was emphatic. You do not break ground on the first two schools until you know you have enough money to complete all six. We now know we do not. And so I'm talking to the six council members I serve with. If you're listening, we have an obligation to do this the right way. We have a charter provision that does not allow the city council to borrow anything over $800,000. If you go to $800,000 and $1, that has to go to referendum. The public controls that, not six council members and a mayor. Right now, that's being ignored by some of my council colleagues. They're ignoring it, thinking it's going to go away. We're not going to get our hand caught. That is not the truth. We cannot break ground unless we have certainty that we have enough money to complete all six projects. To make a change that takes a project offline or alters one substantially can only be done by voter approval, not us.
Very glad that the listener brought that up, a very important subject. Hi, WICH.
Yes, good afternoon. You said like a year ago, I believe, you're gonna install a clock down at Howard Brown Park. That hasn't materialized yet. And if you look across the river, on the riverbank, is a trailer all graffitied up, and there's trash all over the ground. You know anything about that?
All right, we'll do one at a time. Thank you.
The clock, I believe, is a Rotarian project. I want to believe and say that I think they have all their approvals, but Rotary raises funds through activities and sponsorships through businesses supporting them. If there's a delay, I believe that would be a cause and effect. It's my understanding the project can still go forward. The trailer the call is referring to, I was looking at it today. There's an ugly mattress right along the river's edge, right in front of it right now. I do know that the place is owned by a private person who actually runs a trash-to-haul business in southeastern Connecticut. He bought the property to take it out of competition. He didn't want someone competing for his line of work in his area, so that's why he bought it. We've investigated what it would cost for the city to take control of that property, and his price is in orbit and will never be met and never be considered. I think he paid $250,000 or $260,000 for that. Understand, if you own that land, you also immediately take on a partnership with the railroad because they own the rail through the property and a 50-foot right-of-way on both sides. They can actually dictate and control what can be there. Our view is possibly more public access, a park, that type of thing. Because you can't build in a floodway either without very, very high added expenses, floodgates and all those kinds of things. But there also was a person who decided to live down there, and the city had been trying to chase them out of there. That's why there had been a couple fires there a little over a year ago. Some of the graffiti, I guess, is some of the people who are inclined to be artistic here in the city of Norwich. But since the caller called in about that trailer, I will speak to the owner to try to get it the hell out of there.
Okay, hello. Thanks for... Okay. Okay, Pete, let's go to Dodd Stadium. I'm hearing things about selling it, changing it, closing the park. But what's going on there?
Well, we have a year of baseball, college level, a futures league. Our local team last year had the best record in the league. They had the MVP of the league. They won the championship of the league. They produced. They did a great job. These young kids that play at the college level, they come from URI, UConn, Providence College, New Haven College, local colleges, Clark University up in Massachusetts. And it's a good brand of baseball, I got to tell you that. It's exciting baseball. They continue to increase their attendance on a per-game basis. They're getting closer. I think it's almost 1,800 people per game come to every home game. Opening day is May 25th. Want everyone to know that. They're also hosting opening day for the Norwich Little League this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock.
That's great.
I'll be up there. They're a great partner in the community. The Sea Unicorns, led by Lee Waters, the general manager. They have actually, in compliance with the lease that we have with the owner, Miles Prentice, sent to us the request formally asking for the extension on the lease for another year of baseball next season, which is their right to ask for. Both parties have to agree to extend that lease. Having talked about baseball, I will tell you there's a strong interest in keeping baseball there from people in the community. It's a quality of life issue. One of the founding members of our community, Glenn Carberry, now attorney, retired, will be actually speaking to the council about ideas he has as how to repurpose because the stadium's now 30 years old. This is the 30th anniversary coming up. He'll be talking to us on the 20th of May about his ideas. We have been in touch with a attorney's firm out of the Boston, Massachusetts area. They are asking us to hire them to market the site, either for continued baseball, including return of Major League affiliation, and or market it as an industrial site. Everything's on the table. And what it comes down to is, what is the highest and best use? Weigh that against the quality of life issues and what the community wants as well. We need tax revenue in this city. I could segue over to the Occam Industrial Center. Tax revenue from that has the opportunity to cover the cost of these new schools. That's why I strongly support it. I know some people are mad at me on that, but my job is to look out for every taxpayer in this city, no matter where you live. And we needed the new schools. The voters agreed. They gave us the approval. It's not my intent to leave the stadium, but it's an industrial site. The other one's an industrial, or it's more commercial site. We need new taxpayers, and we're bringing them into this community. It will cover the cost of these schools. Our children deserve new schools. We want to talk in the same breath of Norwich Free Academy and the elementary programs and schools. We can market this city as has never been marketed before in the last 50, 60 years with that ability and those achievements being completed. And that's what it's about. More people moving to this city, might I say, with disposable income, so they can spend their money locally here to help our businesses, support our schools, PTOs, and all of that nature. But there's a lot to be talked about as far as Dodd. In fact, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm meeting in the city manager's office about Dodd Stadium and that very issue.
Okay, because, you know, we hear the some of them are rumors, some of them are half...
They're all true.
They're all true. So, yep. In essence, there's a lot of possibilities.
There's possibilities continued baseball. There's possibilities for reuse.
30 years, I can still remember the first day in that line of traffic going in.
Oh,
there.
I can tell you a story about that. I got a call about 10 in the morning, happened to be Attorney Carberry. They had the wrong licenses for the skyboxes.
Oh.
They couldn't serve alcohol.
Okay.
I went over to the Speaker's office, Speaker Tom Ritter, who is the father of the current Speaker, Matt Ritter. And Tom was a wonderful human being. On the dais that day was the legislation approving brew pubs here in the city, in the state of Connecticut. And that was Tom's bill as the Speaker of the State House. About a 20-minute discussion, explained everything to me, to him. He gave me his permission to amend that brew pub legislation with legislation. Talk about government in action. Within 3 hours of that meeting, the bill passed the House, passed the State Senate, and the governor signed it. And they were able to open the stadium and open the skyboxes, which had Bud Selig, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Senator Christopher Dodd, because the stadium's named after his father. And about 9,000 people were there. But that was an example of your state government rising to a challenge. Literally, in about 3 hours, it was solved.
It was quite a day. Of course, we had the...
And I wasn't there to see it because we were in session.
We were in session. All right. Doing your thing. But AAA Yankees... For those that don't remember,
Double A.
Triple.
We had Pettitte, Cohn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. So many people that made it. Major League Baseball won championships. They rehabbed there or they started there. Alfonso Soriano started there. Shane Spencer. Bumgarner, who went on later when the team switched to the Giants, went on to win in the World Series for the San Francisco Giants. He started in that field.
Remember,
there's so much history there.
Clemens was there rehabbing one time.
Yep.
And
yep,
what
yeah.
a mob, what a mob. WICHI, thanks for holding.
Hi, Stu. I'm back again to ask a couple more questions of Pete. We have our carnival once a year down at the marina. Are we still having that this year?
I'm not aware
and,
of any...
We are,
I am not aware of...
talking about the Dodge Stadium. Is it able to borrow that land for the carnival? A lot safer for the police on traveling. And right there is the road at, you know, Brown Park. Up there, it's a little less traffic, you know what I'm saying, for danger. And my second question is, he said that, you know, about the homeless and stuff looking for jobs. some of those people that are homeless, yes, you're right, they are not completely with the program, okay? But there is no shelter anymore, or even a warm-up place anymore in Norwich. That kind of went bye-bye because of funding. Will there ever be anything else for these people in the wintertime, or will there be a tragedy?
Getting hit by the clock, so we'll have Peter respond to that. Thank you.
I'm not aware of any request by any organization to run a carnival downtown. National Night Out with the police in August will be returning. That's my understanding. Homeless shelter, which was called the Hospitality Center, was in the basement of the Buckingham Memorial, former Governor Buckingham's home, during the time of the Civil War. The city of Norwich made a conscientious effort to go to rapid housing instead of maintaining people, homelessness, bringing them for warm shelter, which is important during the winter. Our program is designed to solve the housing crisis. We call it rapid housing because we try to get them placed in permanent housing. Now, understand that there's a percentage of the population of homeless have no intention of ever living in a home, and they want to be homeless. And I can't speak to that, although I've talked with them.
Mm-hmm. No, I've heard that many times.
But our program is rapid housing here.
Right, we're going to take a break, short break, and I'll try to get one more call in with Mayor Peter Nystrom. We're back with Mayor Pete Nystrom and WICH. What's your question for the mayor?
Hi, Pete. First a compliment and then the question. The compliments for both of you. Stu, thanks for doing this. And Peter, thank you for everything you're involved in to be able to get back to us and fulfill the questions and with answers to all these projects. You're amazing to me, everything that you
thank
do.
You.
My question, recently on TV, it's been highlighted, and I'm kind of worried about the properties I own in Norwich that I rent out, people squatting and taking over the property and claiming the properties, and the property owner losing the ownership. There's some sort of property check service that's available. It was on TV recently. I'm wondering if the city has looked into that, and are the property owners protected from squatters moving in and taking over?
All right. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a topic that's been on my mind a lot, too.
Once again, Stu, thank you for doing that.
You're very welcome. Yeah, that's...
I'm aware of the issue. I have not encountered it here in the city. I have encountered and heard about it in other communities. My wife has a friend who opened her home to an individual who immediately took advantage of it, and she had to go to court. And it was a nightmare, and she wrecked the place. It's very difficult. I would suggest that all properties be secure, that you familiarize yourself with them, with their conditions. If they're not being utilized, if they're not leased or rented to someone who you have trusted and so forth, that you continuously check on these properties. Don't leave it to the neighbors in wherever they are. It's your investment. You need to protect your investment. If you notice anything that's out of whack, immediately call authorities, whether it be the police and sometimes the fire marshal's office as well. That is an issue that I'm afraid it may grow. I do know that there was, I don't go on TikTok, but I was told there was someone on TikTok trying to teach people just how to get away with that. I was told TikTok actually took that person's posting down. I'd like to believe they did, but I don't hear very good things about them. While I have a minute, I want to give a plug and thank all our veterans. This Saturday at Rally Point in the Industrial Park on Start Avenue is a Vietnam Veterans Memorial Program. Saturday morning, the public is invited to attend. I believe it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. Again, the public is welcome. We here in Norwich acknowledge our veterans and all the service they provided us and everything they have done for us and continue to do so, and it's important that we acknowledge them. So, again, I just want to thank the veterans. I want to thank Stu for this moment right now. And I just double-checked Vietnam Veterans Day ceremony is at 10 o'clock this Saturday.
Well, we had John Wagoner on yesterday. I'm glad you brought it up again because we want to make sure that we get a good turnout for these folks.
And, absolutely.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We got in a lot of you got a lot of information for us. I thank you so much, and
Mayor, thank you.
Mayor Pete has agreed to come on once a month, so we'll let you know the next time he'll be here.
I'm happy to do so, and I look forward to hearing Rob Simmons tomorrow.
All right, me too. Thank you.